We're looking at Matthew's Gospel on page 921, Matthew 9, beginning at verse 18. 921, Matthew 9. Matthew writes, "While Jesus was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, 'My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live.' Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, 'If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed.' Jesus turned and saw her. 'Take heart, daughter,' he said. 'Your faith has healed you.' And the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and the people playing pipes, he said, 'Go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep.' But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread through all that region." If you haven't been with us before, a very warm welcome. If you have been with us over the last couple of weeks, you'll know that we're working on a sermon series entitled "Why Take Jesus Seriously." And Jeremy had set the course of direction, which is good, as he is the rector here, and suggested that perhaps the subtitle of the talk today would be "Jesus Thrives on Pressure." And I thought, great. I felt the pressure myself. How am I going to do something with this passage that's going to explain to you how Jesus himself thrives on pressure? And so in preparing my talk, I did what any other good under pressure preacher would do, and I turned to G-O-O-G-L-E, or however you spell Google. And so, of course, I turned to Google, and I said, what am I going to do with this? And the thing that perhaps shouldn't have surprised me, but was rather revealing, is virtually everything that I came across in Google articulated just how brilliant Jesus was at handling pressure, how good he was in stressful situations, how he was able to deal with every circumstance and every person with just this unbelievable calm control. And if you look at today's reading, I don't know if you noticed in that first verse, the ruler came to Jesus when his daughter had already died. Not ill, not suffering, but dead. And I'm thinking, well, that's kind of a pressure situation then. And no sooner has Jesus set off with the synagogue ruler to head for his home on this seemingly impossible miracle mission than he's stopped by this woman who has her own desperate need. She reaches out to him. She causes him to stop. And he deals very calmly with her own personal suffering. And guys, I was reflecting on this, and not that I'd ever think of myself as Jesus, but had I been in that situation, I could just see myself saying, please, sorry, now is not a good time, really. Just give me a little bit of a break. I'm kind of preoccupied with the notion of bringing somebody back from the dead, okay? Later. And not only that, but we read from Luke's account of the same story that as Jesus made his way to the ruler's house, the crowds around Jesus were so dense that they almost crushed him. And just imagine that scene. I'm in no doubt with these crowds that are pressing in on him that they must have been shouting out to him, you know, Jesus, Messiah, heal me. Jesus, Messiah, you know, pray for me. Pause, wait. And again, as I got this picture, maybe more of a contemporary one, of people pressing in, Jesus, I want a selfie with you. I mean, you can just imagine it. All of these people, all of that pressure, and yet, as we read today, he calmly deals with this woman's suffering. There's no record anywhere in Scripture that he got stressed out by the crowds, despite their unwillingness, as we would do, to form an orderly British queue to meet Jesus. None of that. So he's being pressed and pushed, and he's unbelievably calm. But anyway, back to sort of the Google thing. So I'm reading these articles, I'm reading these sermons about how wonderful Jesus was in dealing with stressful situations. And that's terrific, but I found myself saying, well, yeah, no kidding, he is God. And so on one level, the fact that Jesus is able to deal with any stressful situation because he's God, fantastic. But on a very human level, for little old me, I'm kind of saying, and what do I do with that? How do I work with that? One of the articles that I had read stated, Jesus lived a stress-free life because he would dot, dot, dot. I mean, fill in the blanks, because he would do this or he would do that. Now, friends, if we pause for a moment and we don't think about what Jesus did to deal with stress, is it right that Jesus led a stress-free life? I mean, tell me about the stress-free life that Jesus led in the hours leading up to his arrest. I have this picture of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Luke records in chapter 22 of his gospel, Luke the doctor says that Jesus, being in anguish, prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Now, what the doctor Luke is recording here is not some kind of poetic device, some poetic description. He's describing an actual medical condition that's referred to as hematohidrosis. Now, this is a condition where the capillary blood vessels that feed the sweat glands, they burst, they explode, and blood is exuded, okay? Acute fear and extreme stress are the most typical causes of this condition. And so I'm saying again, tell me about the stress-free life that Jesus led. And Rick Warren, who many of you will know, and I'm not really having a dig at Rick Warren, but you'll find out in a second when we say, you know, who wrote The Purpose-Driven Life and all that. I just had read that he said Jesus faced constant frustrations, but he never got irritated. And then I thought, well, wait a second, is that right? I mean, I know he's Rick Warren, but is it right that Jesus never got irritated? And I'm prepared to acknowledge to you that maybe I'm reading the Bible wrongly or incorrectly or whatever, but it does seem to me that the gospel suggests that he lost his cool once or twice and he did get frustrated with people. There's lots of examples I could give you, but two that sprung out was in Matthew 17. It records the time when Jesus says, "Oh, you unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." And there's another verse in Matthew from chapter 15, verse 16. And I've read that actually the Message translation of this verse is the closest to the original Greek. And in it, Jesus says to Peter, "Are you being willfully stupid?" And like I said, maybe I'm reading it wrong, but it does seem to me that Jesus didn't lead a stress-free life. It seems to me that he demonstrated entirely normal human responses like frustration and distress and pain. And I was reflecting on it and saying, maybe that's not the kind of Jesus we want. Maybe we want Jesus Christ Superstar. And I can see why people might be uncomfortable in doing anything that might be seemingly reducing the deity of Jesus. But if you ask me why I take Jesus seriously, yeah, I take him seriously because of the miracles, but I also take him seriously because of the man. Jesus Christ Superstar, the creator of the universe, the source of all life, the one who has the power to bring the dead back to life, he also felt the anxiety and the stress that I feel. And in and amongst these stories of the peace and the calm, you can see is woven this beautiful, beautiful narrative of very real human emotions like fear and anguish and pain and joy. And that's what makes all the difference to me. I have no interest really in following a God who has no notion of the emotions and the feelings that I have. I want to be engaged with an emotional living God. It seems to me that the Old Testament is full of stories of an emotional feeling God. And yet, when we read that God comes to us in human form, why do we feel we want to strip him of all human emotions? Why would we do that? He paid a huge price for his humanity. And Jesus is no less God. He is no less God because he felt anxiety. He's no less God because he got frustrated with us being a bunch of blockheads. And so let me just close with one final thought. It is about trusting Jesus. And if I can just ask you to think of any times that you might have approached someone with a difficult or challenging situation and you sought their advice or their help. Now, whose advice did you trust? Was it the advice that was given to you by someone who had never experienced what you had personally gone through? Or in fact, was it the advice of someone who could identify with your situation because they themselves had lived through that same experience? So when I am in a stressful situation, when I'm anxious about the difficulties that I'm facing in my life, I do turn to Jesus. Yes, I turn to him because he works miracles. I turn to him because he can make the impossible possible, like this story of this girl who's dead. It's beyond hope. I turn to Jesus with impossible situations, but I also turn to him because he's not just this amazing superstar with no notion of the doubts or the fears or the frustrations that I have. I turn to him because in love, he lived the very life experiences that I'm living. And that's why I can trust him.